I'm Heidi Malacco. I'm here with Julie Goodnight. And Julie, we have some questions today. The first one is about trust. How do I get my new horse to trust me? I want to start out our relationship right, and I know she's had some abuse in the past. What should I do to make sure she knows she can trust that she's safe and in her forever home?
Well, sure. That's a question that is asked a lot and happens a lot to horses, changing owners, changing locations, sometimes both at once. And all horses are different in this regard. Some of them seem not to be fazed by it at all, and some of them it can be a devastating blow to their confidence and their sense of well-being. And I think first and foremost, you have to thoroughly understand the horse behavior side of this. And horses instinctively are drawn to the herd. They only exist in nature and herd situations. And that's known as gregarious behavior. And all horses are drawn to the herd. And what they get the most from the herd is a sense of safety and a mm-hmm. sense of comfort. So they're also comfort animals, and they like to, you know, lay down and sun themselves and rest and lay down and sleep. And safety and comfort are the two most motivating factors in a horse's life, and he gets those things from the herd. So changing homes and herds and the humans with which the horse interacts, all of that could either be no big deal to the horse if he was fairly experienced, had been handled by a lot of people, had traveled, you know, been to different locations and trail road and horse shows and that kind of stuff. There are some horses that are so well traveled and they're so confident and independent that changing homes is nothing.
Right.
Others, you could have a really seemingly well trained and well performing horse, but he'd never been off the farm, and the herd that was there when he was born and was still there, and all of the things he knew to be true about the world were that one location. And then one day a trailer comes and hauls him off, and it's like he's lost his entire herd, and he's landed on a new planet as far as he's concerned. Mm-hmm. So depending on how your horse reacted when you brought him to the new location, whatever time it takes is what time it takes for him to get used to being there and to trust that things are going to be okay. And the quickest way you can manage a horse to make him trust and believe that everything's going to be okay is to, first of all, you know, from the human side, provide really strong, good leadership with very specific rules and a structure and a routine that is the same every day, and, you know, keep the horse feeling safe and protected, meaning you don't just turn about with a bunch of big old mean horses that are going to beat mm-hmm. him up, but it's your job to take care of him. And, you know, what makes horses feel, first of all, horses seek out acceptance into a herd, whether that is, you know, the other horses or whether that represents their relationship with you. You know, they want that leadership and structure and rules. They seek out acceptance into the herd. And, you know, so as long as we provide them that, then they feel safe and comfortable. So if you, do something that results in the horse either being hurt either physically or mentally when he's being introduced to a new home, that's going to set you back quite a bit. So Instead, we want to get him on a real, you know, regular routine and, you know, get him out, show him around, whatever is his comfort level in terms of his training. But he needs to be mm-hmm. introduced to a new routine. That is the way it is at that farm. And,
right.
And that's a good time for you to establish yourself, in a relationship with this horse. And I would do that through a series of groundwork exercises.
Well, that's what I was going to say, Julie. It sounds to me like there's kind of two parts of this. The first part is getting the horse home and having your horsekeeping, your housekeeping kind of set up to be predictable and create a pattern, feed at the same time, turn him out in a certain place, make sure he's safe, all the things you're talking about there. And then I know there are some specific things when you're actually working with that horse that you would do first. So as when it's just you and that horse and you're doing some groundwork, what are the things you would do first in that situation?
Again, it depends on the previous training level of the horse and what he can
right.
tolerate. But if I were bringing him to my place, I would probably first work him in the round pen in, not too harshly, but just work him until we could establish a relationship. That's the very first level of trust. I need my horse to trust that I am going to be the leader and I'm going to be a good leader and I'm going to be a fair leader, but I'm going to have some expectations of you, and I'm going to have some rules that I expect you to follow. So that's kind of what you get sorted out in the mm-hmm. round pen. And but every time you handle a horse is an opportunity to do groundwork with lead line work.
Right.
When I first would start working the horse in the round pen, what I would be doing is more or less mimicking what would happen if this horse were out in the wild and looking for a new herd. Whatever herd he could find, he would try to take up with. And just like when you introduce a new horse to your existing herd of horses at home, there's always a scuffle. The existing herd will always run off the new horse, and they chase him and they hurt him and they bite him and they kick him and they mm-hmm. act like they hate him and they don't want him. And that leaves the new horse begging for acceptance into the herd. And when he begs for acceptance, what he's saying is, I want to be a part of this herd so badly that I will respect the hierarchy of the herd. I will be a good citizen in the herd. I will find my rightful place in the herd and be a good herd mate. And so eventually the existing herd will let him in, and sort of on a provisional basis. And so when we work the mm-hmm. horse in the round pen, what we're doing is mimicking that. And I go through my very specific steps, like outlined in my round pen video. And the first step is driving the horse away from you. The second step is controlling the direction. So you turn him and turn him and turn him and turn him. Every time you change direction on the horse, you're establishing more authority. And then you work on controlling speed. And at any time during this process that the horse starts showing the begging to be accepted into the herd behavior towards me, the contrite behavior, the head drops, the lower posture, the focus on me. As soon as that's happening, that's like that new horse that you're introducing the herd that's begging to get back into the herd.
Mm-hmm.
Please accept me mm-hmm. in the herd. And from there, I start saying, okay, my herd, my rules. Rule number one is do whatever I tell you to do. Go the direction I tell you to go and at the speed I tell you to go. You know, when I do groundwork with horses from the lead line, rule number one, don't move your feet unless I tell you to. Rule number two, keep your nose in front of your chest when I'm handling you. Don't ever put your nose towards me because, you know, that can only lead to problems if you let a horse put his nose and his lips on you and move into your space. So all along you've been protecting and defending your space, but also respecting the horse's space and respecting, you know, his emotional process. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. You can try and guide it, but you can't force the horse into thinking the way you want him to think. So he has to go through this process. And depending on how well you handle the horse and how tractable the horse is, he may start showing these signs of contrition and begging for acceptance really early on in the process. So whatever time it takes is what time it takes. But through that, you know, you carry on. I might only ever work a horse one time in the round pen, or I might work him. I doubt I would work him, you know, I mean, generally I wouldn't work him more than a week or so in the round pen. And then the rest of the groundwork I'm going to be doing and that is ongoing during all of that is from the lead line and mm-hmm. getting control of the horse from the ground. So,
Julie,
you know,
I love that. I think that's great. I love that correlation between what we're talking about here, that where her horse is new to probably the other horses she has, so becoming part of that herd, and then using the in both of those situations, I think that theme is consistency. You know how those other horses are probably going to act first, and then you're doing those same steps in the round pen, and you're expecting specific things and being really consistent with all of your reactions and what you're teaching the horse to do.
Yes. Horses really like structure and law and order and routine, and they like to be comfortable, and, you know, so those are all the things that we need to attend to if we expect them to want to be part of our herd. So, mm-hmm. And then it's really easy to make mistakes with horses, especially when they're new to you and you don't really know everything about them. Maybe you know nothing about them.
Right.
And it's really easy for a horse to learn to not trust you as his leader because you do just stupid little stuff all the time that makes him question you. And I can't tell you how often I witness this. Almost every time I'm around people with their horses, I see people do stuff that the horse could be going, really? What the heck am I supposed to do with that? You know, and I'll give you an example. It was somebody doing quote-unquote groundwork with their horse, and they're asking the horse to back up, and there's a solid wall behind the horse. And it may only be a step or two away, and the human thinks, I'm only going to ask you to back one step and then stop you, but the horse knows there's a wall behind him, or worse, maybe you're asking him to back into another horse, which would be dangerous from his point of view. And then, so he starts questioning your judgment. Horses get inadvertently punished by riders all the time, and you know, you ask me to go over a jump and then you hit me in the mouth when I do, or you ask me to go into the counter and you hit me in the mouth when I do. There's little things people do all the time that make their horse question whether or not they can be trusted. Also, if the rules are one way one day and the next day they're not, or if the rules are one way right now and not that way later, here's another great example. When we're doing lead line work with horses in my clinics, we start out generally working on standing still and ground time, and then we work on leading manners. And the biggest problem most people have is the horse leading them instead of them leading the horse. From point A to point B, the horse is getting out in front of them, and the person's pulling back on the rope, or worse, circling the horse around them. And it's a constant sort of thing like that. And so we work on the horse not getting in front of us, teaching the horse, here is a clear line, you should stay behind it, and you can trust me that every time you're not behind it, I'm going to scold you, and that every time you are behind it and in the right place, everything's going to be comfortable for you. I'm going to leave you alone, and you'll be happy there. And so, you know, those are rules, and the horse has to be able to trust you both ways. He has to trust you to enforce the rules, and he has to trust you to be fair about it. And so, you know.
And fair to you would mean.
So then the example of what people do to cause a problem with this is, so they work on the horse not getting in front of them. They've scolded them quite a few times. But the horse is still a little confused because their timing of their scolding wasn't good enough for the horse to know exactly when he was, where the line is. I can teach a horse where the line is really fast, but for a lot of people, it's hard for them to figure it out. And so one time they scold the horse for being a little bit in front of the line. Another time they scold the horse for being behind the line, and sometimes they scold them at the line. And so the horse doesn't really, he can't trust why he's being scolded. Whereas if I scold him exactly at the same point every time in relationship to my body, so he quickly learns where that line is. And right there, he trusts me to set the rules and to enforce the rules and to be fair about it. And so let's say I've come that far with the horse, and now I'm asking him, now we're working on going from walk to trot on the lead line and without pulling on the rope. And somebody's having trouble with that, and they're having trouble with it, and we help them, they're having trouble. And they finally get the horse to trot alongside them. And then they don't run fast enough, so the horse ends up out in front of them. And then all of a sudden, right after they just talked this horse into trotting, they scold him for getting in front of him. And that really situation really erodes a lot of trust because the horse, at that moment, what the horse was trying to understand was that you wanted him to trot. And as soon as he understood it and trotted, but his step was bigger than you, so he wound up in front of you, you scolded him. So he thinks he got scolded for trotting after you asked him to trot. So, you know, same thing occurs on the canter departure when people don't give a release. The horse dives down into the bit and hurts his mouth, and he's doing something you told him to do. So I don't care how everything else is, if you do stuff like that, the horse is never going to fully trust you.
Mm-hmm. And that's the fairness aspect you're talking about, right? The consistency and being consistent is what's being fair to the horse.
And not picking on the horse. You teach them the rules and you enforce the rules, but only in the moment and only once. I mean, there's only one little quick scolding, and then it all starts over again, and he's got a clean slate and an opportunity to really impress you. And because they're in this seeking out acceptance frame of mind, they will work hard to impress you under those circumstances.
And so many people just get in that mind, oh, he did something wrong, and then they almost expect him to act up again, and that's when it becomes that adversarial relationship instead of trusting him to do what's right, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like I said, I love that idea that what you're doing and the reasons you're doing that are because you've seen that in the herd, that consistency. You know there other horses are going to first drive him away, wait till he wants to be back in the herd, and then only when he shows signs that he's not going to take over the top level and he's okay being, you know, low man on the totem pole and building that up for a while. And that's exactly what you're doing here. You're just saying the same rules that you would have out in the wild are going to come into play here. Julie,
you can trust me to be the leader, and I will always keep you safe and make you comfortable.
I think that's great. Just from back in the beginning when we were talking about that herd, is there any time in wild horses when horses would change herds?
Well, yes. Horses, stallions will steal mares all the time. That's what they do for a living, right? marauding other herds. And so what stallions in the wild, they that have their own brood mare band, all they do is try to protect their herd from other stallions stealing their mares.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. And, you know, not to anthropomorphize, but, you know, the colts will get banished. Not all colts will be banished from the herd, but most of them will. And or they grow up and get, you know, young and cocky enough to where they want to go off and find their own thing, you know, have their own herd, find their own mares. And so there is some independence, and there are some fillies that are well entrenched in a herd that would be attracted to a bachelor stallion and maybe flirt with him a little bit and or make herself easy to be stolen. And so that kind of fluctuation goes on, sure.
Sure, okay. Good. Yeah, I just thought that was interesting because we only think of it, or what I was coming up with in my mind was like taking my gelding to a new barn where he was turned out with other horses. So that's kind of the herd. But it is interesting to think that same thing does happen as they move each other around. So, well, thank you.
I might point out that, you know, when you go into large facilities, boarding facilities, the turnout pens and the group pens are generally segregated by gender because there'll be a lot less fighting if you don't mix the mares and the geldings. They tend to do better separate than together.
Yeah, it can still be a little heart-wrenching to watch your gelding go out and be the low man for a while as he's in with 20 new ones, though. There's still a process, for sure. Well, thank you, Julie. I think that's a lot of good information and a great way to bring the horse behavior into what you're going to do with a new horse. So thank you.
You're welcome.